Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. In a moment, the political reaction to DJ Carey's debt deal and big decisions for government on helping people pay the bills or not. Chief Crime Correspondent with Sky News, Martin Brunt, on the discovery of a body and the search for missing Nicola Bully. Offshore wind farms could offer a solution to our expensive energy problems, but how will they impact our biodiversity? We debate. George Clooney earned $40 million for selling coffee. We'll find out more about the business of brand deals, and consultant dermatologist Rosemary Coleman will be telling us about the skin problems children and teenagers might encounter. She'll take questions too, 51551 or email todaycb@rte.ie. On Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. First though, this morning, a number of politicians have called for AIB to appear before the Oireachtas Finance Committee to discuss what has been described as a jaw-dropping write-down of a €9.5 million debt in a settlement made between the lender and the former GAA star DJ Carey. Now, the story was broken by RTE's Primetime at the weekend, and according to documents seen by them, it meant DJ Carey had to pay just 0.63% of the original amount owed to the majority state-owned bank. And for more on this, I'm joined now by Elaine Loughlin, who's Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Examiner. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Claire.
So representatives from each of the coalition parties were out at the weekend and they're calling for AIB to answer questions. Is that right?
Yes, and this relates to, as you said, a €9.5 million debt owed by the former Kilkenny hurler, which was written down to around €60,000 in 2017 in a settlement with AIB. Now, most of the debts related to around €7.85 million loan that Mr. Carey had secured on properties in Mount Juliet in Kilkenny and in the K Club in Kildare. What has happened since those revelations were made public by RTE's Prime Time is that we've had a whole list of politicians, both from the government side and opposition, now saying that we need to examine how AIB comes to settlements and if there is across the board way in which these settlements are made, and politicians believe that the Oireachtas Finance Committee is the place to examine that.
So who has been asking those questions over the weekend?
Yes, well, we had a number of ministers to start off with, Junior Minister Derek Leary, Fianna Fáil, TD, coming out and basically saying that he'd been contacted since this was made public by a number of people who are quite angry that they hadn't had access to the same type of settlement as has been revealed in this case. And Mr. Cleary said that AIB should come before the Finance Committee to provide details on the type of agreements that are made across the board. This was echoed as well by Fine Gael Minister of State, Neil Richmond. He described the scale of the write-down as worrying because, as you said, AIB is majority state-owned bank. So the taxpayer does have an interest, a particular interest in this bank. We then had yesterday Green Party TD Stephen Matthews also come out. He is a member of the Finance Committee and he believes that, yes, that committee does have a role to play in examining how settlements are signed off on and the protocols that exist around such settlements.
And also, we have questions coming from the opposition. So would you expect now, Elaine, that this will be raised in the Dáil this week?
Yes, it you would imagine it will be, Claire, but it certainly will come up at the next meeting of the Finance Committee, which is scheduled for Wednesday afternoon. We do know that Sinn Féin's Pierce Doherty, another member of that committee, has written to the committee requesting a meeting be scheduled with AIB. AIM2 leader Pádraig Tobin also wants to hear from the bank. the likes of People Before Profit, Mick Barry, and also Labour Senator Marie Sherlock, all members of that committee, all believe that the bank should appear before it to answer questions around this.
But how likely is it that a lender would appear before the Finance Committee to discuss an individual case, Elaine?
Yeah, and I think most of the members of the committee will agree that hauling a bank before any committee to discuss an individual case relating to one settlement is probably not appropriate. But certainly delving into the way in which settlements are agreed, the process, and whether there's a specific mechanism in place around large debt write-offs, that can be examined in a more overarching manner rather than looking at a specific case.
All right, Elaine, thanks for bringing us that. But stay with us because we're also joined now in the studio by Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor of the Irish Independent. And we're going to discuss now the expected cost of living package. The government appears to be putting the final touches to the measures set to be signed off at Cabinet tomorrow. The Minister for Social Protection, Heather Humphreys, yesterday gave a fairly clear signal on the direction of travel ahead of the announcement.
My priority is older people, people with disabilities, carers, and of course working families with children. And I know that they are probably the most hardest hit at this time.
So that's Minister Heather Humphreys. Fionnán, the package, has it been agreed at this stage, would you say?
No, the three-party leaders still have to meet to sign off, and there still seems to be a few elements that are in play. So you can kind of break it into three different areas. On the kind of the energy alleviation side, it looks now like you'd have another €200 credit, but that will be postponed to the autumn. So there was lobbying to get another one of those credits kicking in late spring.
And is it true that the Greens didn't want that to happen straight off the back of the March one?
Appear to be the case that the argument was that you'll be using less energy, shall we say, in your house as a result of increased outdoor temperatures, that the indoor temperature doesn't need to be so high. So therefore, if you're going to do this, that you should postpone it until there is colder weather coming in the autumn. Mm-hmm. And that therefore you are signalling to people, yes, there will be alleviation to come later on in the year once the weather changes again. So that would appear to be that the Greens can claim a victory, but I mean it's still going to happen. It's still going to have to be factored into the equation on this occasion. Then there's an excise duty reduction that came into play last year. It looks like that will be gradually phased out, but not all in one go. Oil prices have stabilised to a degree since we had those measures kicking in last year. So there's an argument there now that you don't need them as much. But again, that does kick into people's overall bills.
Substantial addition if it were all to be.
Yeah, if it was all to be phased out in one go. But you could do it gradually. You could phase out by 5 cents at a time or something like that, and then see how you go. You can always pull back then on a measure like that if the situation changes. Then also on the energy side, it looks like the 9% VAT on electricity and gas will be retained as well. So again, the intention there to keep prices down. You then move to the social welfare package. Now, you can say there's a crossover with energy bills there as well, but this is overall social welfare in terms of cost of living. Looks like we will get a double social welfare and pension payment one-off there, as well as a double child benefit payment. So
universal Sinn Féin's spring bonus is happening.
That looks like to be the case, because once you get the social welfare recipients receive a double payment, it does tend to be the case that there are accompanying knock-on payments that also kick into play, such as child benefit. Now, that's universal. Yep. It goes to everybody. So you will have the case where you'll have people on substantial six-figure sums who have kids getting a double payment here, and you'll have somebody living a mile down the road who's on the average industrial wage, who doesn't have kids, who won't be getting any support here at all. So that'll be one that the government has to explain, especially the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, who constantly talks about people who are just above certain thresholds don't benefit from social welfare and that they should as well. So he can explain that one then tomorrow. Also, then you you're looking at the business support, the temporary business energy support scheme, that looks like that will continue for now. And then the issue of contention seems to be around the VAT and the hospitality sector. Now, introduced a number of times, and it's always been emphasised that this is a temporary measure. It's not, but it goes on for so long that it ends up with the sector regarding it as permanent. So in this case, the lower VAT rate brought in at the time of the recovery from the recession, phased out, then brought back in then post-COVID and has remained in place. So you're looking at 9% rather than 13.5%. So you're looking at hotels, restaurants, catering, a lot of entertainment. It also has a knock-on effect for hairdressing and for some printing some products like brochures. So it's a fairly wide-ranging effect. I'm told what was being examined over the course of the weekend was, could you put the rate back up to 13.5% for hotels where there is certainly evidence of price gouging going on and substantial price hikes? So the view is no longer needed for there, but retain it for other sectors such as restaurants and food. Now, the difficulty there is, what do you do in the case of a hotel that has a restaurant and you are buying an all-in-one package, bed, breakfast and evening meal?
Logistically difficult for the restaurant or the hotel, and probably logistically difficult for revenue. And we're always told that trying to do something like this is too hard to do quickly and do well.
Yeah, the Department of Finance has never been in favour of going down this route. The hotel sector and the restaurant sector would argue, well, look, this is done in other countries, and yet you can actually split the rate here. Logistics are the difficulty. So that one still seems to be up in the air about where exactly that particular measure will land.
All right. So, Elaine, you've been listening there to everything Fionnuala has outlined. Does that tally with what you're hearing is likely to be the package announced?
Yes, I think so. And in recent days, while the government maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago was largely talking about targeted and universal measures and raising the hopes of everyone, I think they've dialed back that rhetoric. Certainly when you heard Minister Humphreys, the clip that you played there, she mentioned older people, people with disabilities, carers and families. They're all targeted measures, apart from perhaps, as Fionnuala has said, the child benefit, that double payment. But that payment also does tally with the emphasis that Taoiseach himself has put on protecting children with the new unit he established in his department when he became Taoiseach. So perhaps that's the reason why that child benefit payment is being prioritised above maybe an energy credit. Now, the government will try to go with the narrative that the energy credit is still on the table, still under consideration, but will be put forward to the autumn when, as we've discussed, people will need it more as opposed to prior to the summertime. Mm-hmm. But I suppose no matter what the government does, there will be people who are disappointed in not getting that energy credit this side of the summer, and people who feel like they still need more to help with the rising cost of living.
Absolutely. And you know, your energy bills might be coming down from here on out, but you might still be paying your November bill, you know, at this stage, because they went up by so much. There's a couple of things happening though, Fionnuala, on the energy front. There's the €89 rebate on electricity, €50 some people have got back from Electric Ireland, and now we saw Pinterest bringing down prices, so prices might be falling. Does that give the government an opportunity really now to roll back with credibility on the energy rebate?
Yeah, they're probably dealing at the moment with the fallout from the early new year bills that landed on top of people. Yeah, you were fine. You were coming through September, October, where this wide ranging €4 billion package had been announced, including energy credits, and there was probably a sense going into Christmas that that'll be enough to deal with what's to come in the new year. Those bills landed, allied to continued increase inflationary costs. We've seen food continue to go up, and there was a difficulty presented for government that has necessitated this additional package to come along. They will try, I suppose, when you look at this package in the round, they will try and argue that, look, there is an expectation that for the rest of the year that energy bills will be more manageable, that they're at least people will know what to expect coming down the track now. But they probably are still just dealing with the actual fallout in people's back pockets for what happened to them in mid January into early February once those bills started dropping.
There's also, Elaine, the political attraction here for the government because of what they saw in the polls. Now, it mightn't have been a huge bounce, but there was certainly a bounce after the budget, which many would have logically attributed to those measures that were taken in the budget to help people out with the cost of living. That must be tempting for government parties.
It is, and also tempting is the state of the economy right now. The government is in the fortunate position that it does have money to spend at the moment, and also that while it's contentious, rising the VAT rate and the hospitality sector would provide an extra $400 million to the government to spend on measures to help with the cost of living, which people might appreciate at this time. So it is a consideration, I think, and we will probably see that increase from the 9% right up to the standard rate.
Elaine Loughlin and Fionnán Sheehan, thank you both for joining us today, and we'll wait to see what emerges tomorrow. News just reaching us here this morning, the US President Joe Biden has made an unannounced trip to Kyiv ahead of the first anniversary of full-scale Russian invasion of Ukraine. President Biden is going to announce the delivery of critical equipment, including artillery ammunition, anti-armor systems and air surveillance radars to help protect Ukrainian people. It's understood also that a further package of sanctions will be announced by the Americans later in the week, and the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky described the visit as extremely important sign of support for all Ukrainians. We'll have more on that as we get it, but coming up next on the programme, are we within the final hours of the Brexit protocol deal?
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.